Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 3rd of February, recording at 9:57 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were generally a bit firmer. The Hang Seng Index and Japan's Nikkei, I see, were exceptions, but with very small declines, or 0.6%. And 0.6%. And European stock markets, after an indifferent start in and out of the plus column, and ended near the highs of the day with some reasonably solid gains. And Wall Street has not quite closed, but it is near the higher side of the day, and having been slightly lower earlier on, we're currently up 150 points on the Dow and 13.5 on the S&P. Now, elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, U.S. Treasury bonds, which are prices which are in an overall downward trend, orderly step sequence downward trend, are weak in here again today, down over 2 points. The gilts and bunds are also weaker. A very interesting one in here, I think, is that the U.S. dollar is weak. The dollar index closed at 85.05. That's down over a full point, downward dynamic. And the euro is up nearly 2 cents. The dollar is down nearly 2 cents against the Swissie. And sterling's up a couple of cents. Now, in the commodity sector, it was interesting. Some moves that surprised me for a while. We had another shakeout in the precious metals despite the weakness of the dollar. But they firmed up. For instance, March silver is actually up now in the after-hour trading, only a cent and a half. But it had been down at 12.13 and a half. It's currently at 12.43. And gold bullion is just under the $900 level at $899.40, but it had been $10 lower. So they have steadied up. Industrial metals were really quite strong. Copper up over 8 cents, but they were all firmer in here today. Tin had good gains. So did zinc. Okay, now what about crude, though? Crude's up nearly a dollar at 141.02. Natural gas a little bit easier. That grain and bean complex is easier again here today. Okay, so what's going on overall? And stock markets are mostly in ranging patterns. Sentiment is very fragile, as you know. But China, I hadn't mentioned that in my highlights on the day. China had a strong day here today, an upward breakout from the little tight trading range that it had been in. It's up near its November and December highs, shows progression of higher reaction lows. It's been in this ranging pattern really since September, although the actual low was in October. But the bottom line here is it's pretty good action overall. And China, as we have said repeatedly in recent months, among major markets, major stock markets, China continues to show the best and most likely technical evidence of base formation development. Now, the longer these other trading ranges continue, the more that would favor evidence of base formation development overall. Now, as you know, there's a consensus, quite a vocal consensus, that expects another downward move on Wall Street and in the European stock markets, and they expect quite a big downward move. And it's not hard to understand why they hold this view, given the scarifying economic news that is still coming out. And also, given the very poor performance in January, the worst on record for Wall Street, which more than retraced the December rally gains. So we got perilously close to those November reaction lows. And it really would not take much on the downside to cause breaks. And that's what most people actually expect. And I think people are also positioned for that in their in their trading. Now, I certainly can't rule out the possibility of that downward break. As I say, it could very, very easily occur. But given the better performances in the markets that show are likely to show some decent growth this year, and I would say China, India, and Brazil would certainly fit that category. I don't doubt that, at least in the case of China, that the growth will be exaggerated somewhat. But the stock market action is telling us, you know, they can lie about the statistics. They can make, any country can make the statistics up on the back of an envelope, but or be quite accurate with their statistics, of course, as some would endeavor to do. But, you know, you can't make up the stock market. And so when I see that base formation activity increasingly dominated by upward dynamics, another characteristic of base formation activity, as is rising lows, I think, well, you know, people are too bearish in here. And I get castigated every time I say it by people who say, oh no, we're in a depression and, you know, all these terrible things are going to happen, and the stock market's going down another 20 to 40%. Extreme forecasts after we've already had a very big bear market and some climactic activity. But again, I'll let the charts show the way. And my point is that the more they range sideways, the more likely it is that the current patterns are base formation development. I've also said that because of the diabolical nature of the news, the economic news, and given that credit-related balance sheet recessions tend to be worse than other sort of more normal recessions where governments just crank up interest rates and squeeze a little overheating out of the market and then lower them again following the pullbacks. When you get balance sheet problems related to credit, it's obvious that that's going to have a bigger effect on GDP, negative effect, and that the bear markets will be bigger, and it will take longer for the economy to recover. And so, therefore, I've emphasized the point that we could well see a lengthy base formation development. How lengthy? Who knows? One of them will have to break up out of these patterns to signal that it is recovering. Now, also, Wall Street will need to hold reasonably close to those November lows. And given the leash effect that the U.S. market always has, generally. But again, I repeat that given the bearish consensus that we have out there, the fact that these markets are holding in these ranges is a little bit at odds with that. So either markets are going to have to catch up with the bearish expectations and plunge fairly soon. As I say, it wouldn't take much to cause Wall Street to hit new lows. China and Brazil Some of these others, that would be quite a move on the downside just to retest the lows. So, I don't think it's all doom and gloom. And what's for sure is that the economists won't spot the bottom of the stock market cycle, or I'll put it this way because that's provocative. Economic data will not indicate the bottom of the stock market cycle. That will be determined by liquidity and sentiment. Sentiment will determine where the liquidity actually goes. And sentiment is rather fragile right now, as you know, but there is plenty of liquidity out there. Okay, what else? These long-dated government bonds. Well, you know my view on those, but for the newest subscribers coming in the last few days, I agree with those who say that U.S. Treasuries are a major short. I think they're probably all shorts. I'm a little annoyed with myself for not jumping on the Treasury trend when Owen pointed out that downward dynamic last month, or was it in late November? I can't remember, and I haven't got the chart under my nose. But sudden downward dynamic off the highs, because we've been talking about it long enough. I suppose I'm a little spooked by all the talk of the quantitative easing and people writing articles about how the government is and will buy, and Bernanke saying that they wouldn't hesitate to buy. Again, I've always felt that there was an element of bluff in all this. They've got to spend, or they've got to buy plenty of other more troubled assets. And so if they talk the long-dated government bond prices up, yields down, of course, then they can get the markets to do some of their work for them. And I think they've been quite successful in that. But people are beginning to realize that it's kind of a mug's game to hold these long-dated bonds. Okay, in currencies, I think one of the big calls of the year is to get this dollar top. And I think there's a possibility that we may be seeing it right now. Well, actually, that we may have seen it a couple of months ago, but then we had the return rally. We had some quite high volatility in the currencies, because we've been seeing volatility in pretty well every market. Although, if you notice with stock markets, it has been subsiding recently. So we're getting back to more normal volume levels. But the dollar index had a downward dynamic today. It's the second one at these levels within the range of the small top formation that was that October to late October to early December top formation on the dollar index. And the euro today, I mentioned it, has bounced back up to 130.38. And I remember people were talking 120 last week, telling us that a lot of people were long dollars short the euro. And there have been a lot of articles that have come through, people saying, well, the euro is going to break up because. And for the record, that's never been my view. It's not at all impossible that some countries at some point might decide to pull out of the euro, but that's kind of a last resort drastic move. And people say, well, they can't devalue their currency. Euro strength is not the problem for any of them, so that's not really an issue, but it's true, it's a valid point. They can't devalue their currency if they're in the euro. And people say they can't slash interest rates further if they're in the euro. Well, euro interest rates have already come down a long way and are no doubt going down a little bit lower. So why the need to get out? If they need to get out, they'll have to pay just vastly higher interest rates for their bond issuance. So I think talk of the euro's death is premature, to quote Mark Twain, or paraphrase Mark Twain. And It is the main alternative reserve currency. So if people get antsy, that's slang, if people get nervous about their dollar holdings, and that, my friends, is not a matter of if, but when, then the euro will be one of the beneficiaries. And that may happen fairly soon. I opened an initial long position in the euro against the US dollar. I'll t take that vehicle to play it. But almost any vehicle would do. Now, if the dollar is going to weaken now rather than several months from now and so on, it'll probably take the yen with it. In other words, they would both weaken as just as they both strengthened together. And that might coincide with a firmer tone for stock markets because as carry trade currencies, if we saw a weaker dollar and a weaker yen, I think that would signal to some people, myself included, that a lot of the carry trade deleveraging was behind us. And what about these commodity markets? I suspect that the soybeans are short, but they have gone down several days consecutively in here. I myself would like to see a little bit of a rally, and then I would be quite tempted to open a short position. We may not get that rally, but I suspect they're short. I think the industrial metals are buys on dips, but probably need to be baby steps traded. In other words, one lightens positions on the rallies. And I think that tactic also works with precious metals, but I also think one can justify buy and hold on the precious metals. And I wouldn't be surprised if they saw some near-term reaction lows in here today. Crude oil, I suspect that that's in an overall bottoming out, has commenced a bottoming out process, but as it only peaked in July, it's early days yet. I wouldn't be at all surprised if crude oil spends most of the year in this range. But from this level overall, I think there's more upside than downside. So I think we probably saw the low or nearest AMET down at that when we had that decline to 132, which it nearly hit on a couple of occasions. And I think that's pretty much it for another day, an interesting day. And so once again, just all the very best to all of you.